Hey guys, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I'm going all over the place here. I got a purple stick, about spilled it a
morning
ago.
I have my purple stick. We ran out of GHI out here. All these containers around us are empty.
There's still some purple sticks left.
That's why I took a purple stick.
Some got left on the floor. Even my magnesium's almost gone.
Oh, the EPA's dropping mandates.
I know. I saw that. This is an article that came up earlier. This is a big deal. You know, the other day when we went to the dealership, saw a couple of our buddies over there, and he wanted to drive that F-150 Lightning.
Whoa.
Well, you want to drive? He'd never driven one. I told him, I said, we do enough research on this stuff. If we're going to talk about it, you really honestly need to drive it. And he did. And he didn't buy it.
It was an absolute waste of time.
Well, it wasn't a waste of time. It was interesting. We did learn a few things.
Yeah, it handles awful. It was all over the road. Well,
and one thing one of our dealer buddies said there, he said the problem with these vehicles, and we've known this, is he said when you have a government that comes in and tries to mandate everybody that has to do stuff, mandate a product on the market, mandate that people buy them, give them more incentives to buy them, it doesn't organically grow. Nobody wanted them. Nobody asked for these vehicles. They came in. The EPA came in with what happened was they came in with this fuel mileage mandate back under the Obama administration. And they said essentially every year these vehicles had to go up like 5 to 10% on their fuel mileage. There were minimum standard requirements for the fuel mileage. And now the EPA, they're showing up now here. The EPA is aiming to repeal all vehicle emission rule fuel mileage requirements after revoking greenhouse gas endangerment. Trump did on this. It says, the summary says EPA will seek to repeal all vehicle engine emission standard requirements. And essentially, California is suing the U.S. over state rule ending gasoline vehicle sales. Remember, California is so unbelievably inept and stupid as far as their political leaders out there. There's some cool people in California. They came in and said, by 2030, no one will be able to buy a gas-powered vehicle in California. Only electric. This is coming from a state that can't even function on its own grid right now. It still has brownouts in certain areas because they're so overloaded. And it says the drastic summary of the forthcoming proposal, the agency is expected to say the Clean Air Act does not authorize the EPA to impose emission standards to address global climate changes and will rescind the findings that CHG emissions from new motor vehicles and engines. This is enormous. Because what's happened is EPA, under the Chevron doctrine, we've talked about this, had the ability to come in and say, we deem it so that an F-250 has to get 40 miles per gallon by 2035 or you can't sell it. And every year we're putting more pollution filters and more DPFs and more catalytic converters, so eventually the entire exhaust is going to be one giant filter and it has to get 40 miles per gallon. And all the diesel manufacturers go, that's not possible. We can get 40 if you let us pull this crap off. Can't get 40 of this stuff on there. Well, I guess you can't sell it anymore. And this is what the EPA was doing in order to get people being able to buy these things.
The whole thing was, the only reason they did it was to push the EVs.
That's exactly right.
That was it. Because, I mean, they figured the gasoline and the diesel engines couldn't maintain that. They couldn't do it. And so they thought, well, we're going to mandate them out of business.
Out of business. That's exactly what they were doing.
And so I'll give Trump credit for this, but the whole world is starting to look different at the EVs now. In fact, right now, the UK has approved a $51 billion nuclear plant, one of the first ones in decades.
Wow.
Now, think about it. We're going to get rid of nuclear energy. We're going to go to windmills. And they ruined the landscape in Austria and Germany. It's horrible over there now when you go into areas.
Well, I watched a show the other day. It was called, I think it was Landman. It was with Billy Bob Thornton. I watched part of it the other day. And he takes this girl out to one of the areas where they're pumping the oil, and they have to go out there and they're mandated to put those windmills in order to generate enough electricity to run the generators and stuff as far as for these oil rigs. And she goes, well, you know, this is the green energy. And he goes, do you know how much oil these things burn every day just to stay lubricated? You know how much fuel was burnt to pump the concrete all the way out here and pour the gigantic slabs? He goes, do you know how much maintenance it costs on petroleum byproducts it uses to keep these things functioning? He goes, by the time we shut these things down in 10 years, they will not even have paid for themselves as far as the energy they generated, nor will they have prevented any type of emissions. They actually increase it.
The same thing is true with the solar panels.
Yeah, long term.
Well, no, because what happens is after about 8 or 9 years, the inverters break.
Right.
They blow up and they cost you thousands of dollars to put new inverters on. You got to pay for all the roof repairs. You got to pay for all the cleaning. It's just on and on and on and on. You may save on a 10K system, you may get a couple $100, $150, $250 a month in savings only if the sun's out.
That's the issue. Because I remember when we were up in Montana, we went up to North Fork, and remember everybody had solar panels as backups.
But they had propane generators.
Because they said, well, the problem is, as soon as it gets cloudy, reality, solar panels don't work. And so this is something that's interesting. And this was the thing that mandated, to finish this off real quick here, the new EPA rule mandated 55 mile per gallon by 2026. This is what they put
by
into
2026.
Place. This is what they originally had in place right now. And then they extended it to 2028, and then they extended it to 2030. This was from the COVID era, though. This came out. This article's from COVID.
But here's the thing. That's possible with diesel technology.
That is. If you let them run. You let them breathe.
And that's, because I had a car that was getting close to 50 miles per gallon that we rented in Europe. It had a three-cylinder diesel in it.
Yep.
And it was getting great fuel. I couldn't believe. And then we rented that Mercedes E-Class diesel. Remember that time when we were in Ireland many, many years ago, 20 years ago? And that thing was getting like 45 miles per gallon. That was 25 years ago.
Oh, the technology is there. I had a buddy that had, it was a 2012 LML Duramax.
Yeah.
And they deleted it back then when nobody really knew about it. They pulled all the emissions off of them, tuned it super clean. I was in the vehicle, and I saw 27 to 28 miles per gallon on average on that, on the highway.
Oh, I saw that all the time.
All the time.
With my 7.3 liter Ford.
Yeah. So the technology's there to get mid-30s in diesel engine pickup trucks that are 7,000, 8,000 pounds, but not when you put these emission standards.
Well, I had a Tahoe that had a little diesel engine in a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I could get, if I drove it around 60 miles an hour, it'd get 35 miles a gallon on a flat surface.
Right.
And I'm like, wow.
And that was stock with all the emissions on it.
That was stock with all the emissions on it. So you think to yourself, if you took all that junk off of it, you'd probably get 55 miles per gallon.
Yeah.
But the problem is they now have realized that they can't make those standards with these pollutions. You have to let an engine breathe.
Yep.
It has to breathe. And now Elon Musk is warning of potentially rough times ahead. This is in the New York Times this morning. And they're saying that shares in Tesla were down in pre-market trading.
Oh, they were bad yesterday.
As the car maker blays out the risks from President Trump's tariff and his scrapping of tax credits. In other words, Elon Musk is saying, the only way that I can make money with this company is that if you give people $10,000 per vehicle that I sell as a tax credit. Okay, wait a minute. That's like me saying to you, I'm going to mandate that every single person in the United States buys a purple stick.
I'm going to pay you to buy it.
I'm
going to
pay you
money.
To do it with taxpayer money. And you go, yeah, I'll sign up for that. Well, yeah, I would too. But the problem is not everybody wants an electric car that you've got to sit for 2 hours and watch it charge. And then if you charge it in a 110, it gets 1 mile per hour of charge. I've seen it. Unbelievable garbage. It goes, selling Tesla, says shares of Tesla are sinking as pre-market trades. Some on Wall Street are concerned that growth in its core business looms rocky. There are other factors too. Competition from Chinese rivals is fierce. The company reported $22 billion in sales in the second quarter. I can't believe people are still buying them to that level, unless it's globally.
I personally think, and interject on that, I personally think that also included a lot of the federal grant money that was included in there with the rebates on it.
But it just says the policy doesn't help even with because of Musk being on the outs with President Trump. Protesters appear bent on disrupting the tech mogul's business empire. But some analysts say there's a silver lining. Losing the tax credit could accelerate efforts to bring forward a low-cost model to better compete with the likes of China's BYD.
Let's bring a crappier vehicle with crappier
tech. Well, first of all, let's just stop for 1 second, okay? If you take a look at this and you start saying, well, everybody has to drive electric, they don't even think about the fact, it's just like Billy Bob said, you've got to pay somebody to charge these cars.
Yeah.
And most of the time they're running on coal or fossil fuel to generate the power to run to charge the batteries. And less than, we have one of our listeners is brilliant. He's got solar panels set up to charge his Tesla.
And I think he's got a generator too, backup.
Yeah.
He's got a completely off-grid system.
But he's brilliant.
But he also has McLaren, so.
Well, he's got money. But the point is, it means he's really smart.
Smart, yeah.
But the point is, if you have that kind of technology available to you, okay, electric one might be okay to drive around town and use it as a golf cart.
Right.
I was talking to one of my buddies the other day, a Stingray Chevrolet, and he told me, he goes, well, we had a friend of ours basically get one of those little electric vehicles they have for $3,800 on a 2-year lease, full out of pocket.
That's it? This is just trying to dump it.
That's like $150 a month for an electric vehicle. And I looked at the
guy. That's a lease too.
That's a lease. You walk away. And I said, so that's like buying, that's cheaper than a golf cart.
That is. I was going to say a golf cart will cost you $5,000-$7,000 now.
Oh, minimum.
Yeah.
And that's cheaper than a golf cart. That's how badly that Chevrolet wants to get rid of these vehicles.
Well, I know our dealer over there, you talk to him, they're frustrated with it because they were mandated by GM to put in multiple charging stations.
For it cost $1 million. Yeah.
They had to put a whole entire other substation in to be able to charge those things. So
this seems to be power hogs. Well, then, and on top of that, you don't even think about the fact that you're not saving any gas money because you're having to pay for the electricity.
No, yeah,
and then you got the maintenance. And then, whoa, and heaven forbid you keep that car past 10 years, those batteries are done. Car's done. There is no residual value of scrap at that point, and it's going to be sold in a doggone auction to a scrapyard for parts. For all the other ones to get wrecked. Unbelievable.
This is another wild story at a number that I didn't even understand until I brought it up on Hagman the other day. And I'm going to go into more detail. And it says Americans spend trillions on health care and remain unwell and are getting worse.
Oh, yeah.
They go on to say here in this article, listen to this number here. They said that the United States spends more on medical care than any other country in
way more
expenditures of $4.9 trillion in 2023. That's more than 17% of the GDP or the gross domestic product. $4.9 trillion on health care. It says despite the staggering investment, chronic diseases like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, obesity, depression, anxiety are rising at an alarming rate while we continue to spend more money in the medical industrial complex. It says a person with type 2 diabetes might spend up to $12,000 a year on medical visits, blood sugar monitors, insulin, and medications while ignoring the $30 a month gym membership and a switch of grocery choices that could have helped prevent the condition in the first place.
That's right. Absolutely right.
Oof. I was going to step on some toes with that.
No, I had a lady years ago. Her husband had to go through bypass surgery.
Yeah.
And they had spent like $250,000 out of pocket.
Yeah.
And then she called up, and I didn't know she spent all this money on the bypass surgery. And she ordered every one of our tape series. This is way back in the 90s.
Yeah.
When tapes were still available. And I remember I told her, I said, well, you know, this is going to be expensive. It's going to be like $500. She said, $500. She started laughing. I just spent $250,000. I want to find out what we did wrong. I want to fix it. I don't want to do this again. This is expensive. Wow. I don't want my husband to die. And see, that's the kind of thing that you have to look at. A person will go out and spend $100 or $200 or $300 on a pair of tennis shoes, which is ridiculous. I mean, people used to buy tennis shoes and resell them because they were like designer tennis
shoes.
I know. and you know, you think to yourself, well, you'll spend $100 on a pair of tennis shoes, but you won't go out and spend, you know, $100 on a CD series or tape series to teach you how to stay healthy the rest of your life, or, you know, $100 on, you know, a couple sets of vitamins that you can get to try to stay healthy. It's mind boggling me. By the way, nursing home chain with 175 facilities is now filing for bankruptcy.
Ooh.
A devastating senior care crisis hits the new low. Now, what's happening is they're putting these nanny cams in these nursing homes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, what's happening is the people whose parents are in these nursing homes are saying, hey, my grandma's got bed sores. My mom, my dad has bed sores. You're not rotating them properly. You're not taking care of them. So they're putting these nanny cams in, and they're using that as evidence in these courts
file
lawsuits against these nursing homes. And so now 175 facilities is filing for bankruptcy because of all of the lawsuits, because they said they can't do this.
Well, I mean, the nursing home abuse is a serious issue. A lot of people don't talk about it, but there's a lot of problems with it because the people that work there, not all the time, but in some cases, they don't want to deal with them. So they just sedate them. That's happened to Oma, my grandma. Remember when she got admitted to the nursing home, and all of a sudden it was like they didn't want to deal with her. They just kept giving her more and more meds.
They drugged her out.
And then she died. And so, I mean, you see that happen over and over and over again. You start seeing a pattern. Like, okay, this is pattern recognition.
By the way, I'm going to do a disclaimer here. I did not have power of attorney over my mother.
No, you didn't.
She would have never gone in a nursing home.
Never.
Never.
We tried to get her out.
I tried to get her out.
Yeah.
And, in fact, when they wanted me to sign the papers to put her in, I said, absolutely not. I will not do this. And somebody else had power of attorney. By the way, this is an interesting article by Quoth the Raven. It says, the food is poison and the lobbyists know it. He's talking about the general population, how they eat. He goes, I've been a big supporter of Make America Healthy Again movement since the beginning, not because I'm some Instagram wellness influencer trying to sell you a $22 bottle of chlorophyll water, but because I believe the basic premise is correct. The food and pharmacist lobbies are way too much in control of the country. These industries are responsible for making you sick, and they're also the ones selling you the cure. He's absolutely right. It says, MAHA for all the messy edges, and yes, here there is plenty, actually touches a nerve that more people should be paying attention to, whether it's Bobby Kennedy Jr. trying to get petroleum-based food dyes out of our kids' cereal or Trump's commission taking aim at childhood chronic illnesses. The movement is putting a spotlight on something most Americans are too busy doom-scrolling or eating microwave sludge to notice. Our food is trash, and our health system is designed to keep it that way.
Yep.
Because it's all owned by the same people.
Yep.
Let me poison you with this product, and I'll put you in my hospital to give you the drugs to try to heal you. You're like, well, it's kind of crazy. But it's a really good artist. But meanwhile, companies still allowed to pump our food full of artificial sweeteners, inflammatory seed oils, and preservatives so potent they could probably sterilize and tranquilize a small horse. That's well said. And that's just the stuff they list on the label. Transparency. The FDA won't even require companies to tell you how they engineered your cereal to taste like extra-strength chocolate-covered crack dust for miners.
What?
I'm gonna read
that was
again.
A good one-liner. Yeah.
The FDA won't even require companies to tell you how they engineered your cereal to taste like extra-strength chocolate-covered crack dust for miners, marketing it before marketing it with cartoons. But yeah, let's keep locking up Sudafed at my local CVS so I have to listen to the underpaid, agitated, for no reason employees sigh and exhale every time I need to get a product out of the cages we keep them in our now third world country. You got to get your wallet out. Hand them. You got a cold. License. You got a cold. You already feel like garbage. You got a cold. You want to get some Sudafed. And you walk in and you go, I need some Sudafed.
It's locked up. Why do you need Sudafed? Are you manufacturing methamphetamines? Like, dude, I just need Sudafed. I got a headache.
And then they bring the fake stuff out.
Yeah.
And you go,
they always try to give you the fake stuff.
The stuff doesn't work. I want the Sudafedrin hydrochloride. Oh, I need a driver's license for that.
Really is ridiculous.
And you go, you need a driver's license? For Sudafed? Yeah, they use it to make meth. Are you trying to make meth?
And I'm
like, no, I just want some Sudafed. And I'm blowing my nose going, this is nightmarish. And I finally pull my license out. They give me some. I got to sign for it.
Yeah.
Like I'm buying some kind of restricted drug. It's over the counter. They do that because they're trying to control the production of meth.
Yeah, are they, though?
No, they're not.
Exactly.
They don't want the local homegrown meth
That's
supply.
That's exactly right. They want everybody to go to their doctor to get the prescription methamphetamines like Adderall and Ritalin.
So when the MAHA comes along and says, maybe, just maybe, we shouldn't feed our kids petroleum byproducts and call it lunch, I'm on board. When it says, maybe chronic illness in 9-year-olds isn't normal, I'm not along. And when it says, let's figure out how to stop this disaster for everyone under the age of 30 needs a statin drug and an Ozempic drip just to function, he goes, I say, hell yes. That's his quote. Okay. After my last conversation with Dave Collum, I've been thinking about more food items. Now, what's funny about this, when you read this stuff, you realize he's making sense. Oh my gosh, he's actually saying the truth here. That the food that we eat is going to be your best medicine, is going to be your worst detriment.
That's true.
If all you eat is junk all the time, why do you think your body can be healthy? Your body needs specific nutrients, certain vitamins, amino acids, minerals, trace minerals, in order to stay healthy, in order to produce new cells.
High dose of magnesium.
Magnesium
deficiency is the number one thing
I come to. And it goes, Moderna's mRNA shot gets full FDA approval for at-risk infants. However, the evidence confirms catastrophic harm. So who's paying for the drugs? Who's controlling the drug companies? Again, the same people that produce our food. You know, I'm going to cover something just a minute, tie a bunch of this together. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has gained full approval for Moderna's opens new COVID-19 spike vaccine in children aged 6 months through 11 years who are at increased risk of disease, the company said on Tuesday. How in the world would you know that a six-month-old is increased risk for disease?
Yeah.
You can't ask him a question. He's not going to fill out a form.
My question, what test are they doing on this child? What extensive testing are they going to realize this child is at risk for COVID?
Here it comes
our question.
The child was previously available for pediatric populations under emergency use authorization.
Yep.
But guess what? They got to make sure this garbage gets on the shot schedule because otherwise they're going to start having liability exposure with this. And they probably already do, and they don't want to talk about it. Now, here's another one. Heart rhythm data exposes alarming psychological, physiological mutations among the COVID vaxxed. Wait a minute. The scientific community has been left stunned after a group of leading scientists presented evidence showing alarming physiological mutations among people who received the COVID mRNA vaccines. The explosive findings of a new study were present to scientists in the 2025 American Physiology Summit. The breakthrough research was led by Dr. Amin and colleagues from Purdue in collaboration with another couple groups. I'm not going to try to read them all. The chilling mutations revealed in data. The research exposed measurable changes in activity in the autonomic nervous system, which regulates heart rate, digestion, and inflammation. The scientists believe these changes could be responsible for physiological injuries that lead to sudden cardiac arrest and severe adverse events. The findings of this study have been published in the American Physiological Society Journal. Using chest-worn wireless devices, researchers tracked heart rate variability, skin temperature, and activity levels in two small participant subsets. The participants were monitored after their second dose of the COVID vaccine. Here we go.
Here you go.
The group participants, based on their skin temperature, response of whether they experienced systemic side effects. By mapping three-dimensional changes, they found there was significant damage to people's hearts and cardiovascular systems associated with inflammation after the second dose. Now, this is now national news. Oh, that's right. It's not national news, is it? It's news on our show.
Yeah.
Why isn't this on ABC, CBS, and the NBC ones, the other CIA-controlled Operation Mockingbird affiliates? Thought I'd mention that. Well, because they don't want you to know this.
Well, it ties in exactly what we've been saying, how it's one big circular wheel that they continue to push people into. So they give you the food that makes you sick, then they give you the drugs to try to combat the side effects, and they do more surgery, and they do more things. This is an article here now. It says, pediatrician group, the American Academy of Pediatrics, that recommends the GLP, the Ozempic, for children, is now basically, it's coming out that they received millions of dollars from the manufacturers. This is American Academy of Pediatrics has taken in millions from companies that manufacture the new class of weight drug, raising concerns about the organization's endorsement of the drug for children as young as 8 years old. The AAP's guideline released the end of last year recommended that doctors should offer children aged 12 and older the GLP-1, Ozempic, and other weight loss drugs. The guidelines, which AAP said is vetted, also said clinics can offer the drug to children as young as 8. However, they're showing now here, the guidelines and accompanying technical support, the pediatricians, they never disclosed that they received millions of dollars from makers of the GLP drugs in order to endorse it and in order to promote it. Listen to this. The largest paid, Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly, the two largest, paid $2 million before 2024 to AAP. About a quarter of AAP's national leaders separately received nearly $300,000 combined from 17 to 23 from corporations developing the drug. And then suddenly they come out and say, the drug's safe for children 8 years and old now. I mean, do I have to tie it up in a bigger bow anymore?
I'm tying it up.
Yeah.
I'm tied up right now.
It's like, golly.
We're going to tie the bow together.
Tie it up. Give me a nice big pretty box.
Macron announces that France will now recognize Palestinian statehood. What's left of them with Gaza.
There's not much left.
No. What do you mean France? I thought Macron was a weirdo married to a dude. Well, by the way, Candace Owens is being sued now because she said that Macron's wife is a dude. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
And she's not backing down. She's doubling it down. She is going after him. Now, there's a very easy way to determine if Macron's wife is a dude. A DNA test.
Now, how's this tie in with Ozempic and sugar?
I'm going to do it right now.
All right. I'm waiting on this one now.
Macron announces France will recognize Palestinian statehood. So who is he trying to appease? Although the United States continues to maintain its unyielding support for Israel, ongoing opposition to the war in Gaza has led to a seismic shift for once staunch allies of the Jewish state. The United Kingdom, which led the Zionist cause for the creation of Israel beginning in 1917 with the issuance of the Balfour Declaration signed by Lord Rothschild, suspended trade negotiations with Israel in May in a rare show of diplomatic opposition. Here's the caveat right here. England was doing very badly in World War One. This is World War. Now we're over 100 years ago, and basically they could not get the United States into World War One because such a huge percentage of the population of Americans were German. Pretty much everybody who has the last name Brown or Miller or Smith had a German heritage. Schmidt, Müller, and Braun. Okay, so all these people were having these rallies all over the place in the United States because they didn't want to go fight their countrymen in World War One, and so they wouldn't get world. They were sinking ships with torpedoes. All kinds of crazy stuff was happening, but they got brandished on the Supreme Court. Remember who did that? Samuel Untermeyer when he blackmailed Woodrow Wilson. And then what ended up happening is they pushed and pushed and pushed to get the U.S. into World War One, and they signed the Balfour Declaration. Here's what it said, Austin. It said that if England could get the United States into World War One, if Rothschilds could get England and the United States to fight Germany simultaneously in World War One, that they would take the land of Palestine and give it to the Jews for a homeland. You think, well, what the heck just happened? Well, that's what happened right here. And so what happens now, coming back now with France, and they're saying, we're not going to agree with this. We're not going to do this anymore. We're going to basically say, we're going to go ahead now and come in and say, hey, you know, we want the Palestinians to have their own homeland. Now, here's that. Remember, in 2014, Sweden became the first member of the European Union to recognize the Palestinians' state, though Cyprus had done so in 1988 before it joined the EU in 2004. Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, Romania, Slovakia, each originally acknowledged Palestinian state virtue by the alliances of the former Soviet Union, while many other European states remain silent and reticent to do so. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to make with all of this stuff. When you have
my Ozempic story still sitting here.
It may be a weak connection, but okay. We're going to make the connection. When you have the Rothschild banking cartel coming in and saying, hey, we're going to control who says what about where, and we're going to throw the Palestinians out of their homes by machine guns, and we're going to basically form the state of Israel so we can have a non-extradition country in order to be basically bring out a third prophecy based upon the Scofield Reference Bible brought to us by Samuel Untermeyer and bring us into World War I to create the state of Israel, and then we're going to really get the Germans stoked up to persecute the Jews to make sure they want to go to Israel. Then you have a situation in which the major leading manufacturers of Rothschild control, because of the money supply being controlled through them. That's why it's not Rothschild everything. It's not Rothschild Texaco, Rothschild Standard Oil, Rothschild everything, because they don't want you to know that. Now, this is the same thing with this, with the Ozempica with kids. They want to control everybody, feed the goyim, the pigs, the cattle, as much junk as they possibly can to keep them sick and diseased so they can control the manufacture and production of these insulin-controlling drugs for these young children, not even talking about the side effects that are going to occur long-term-wise. There's your segue. The same group of people did all of this stuff with Israel. The same group of people did all of this stuff with Pharmakia to control the masses through drugs. The same group that controls all the major pharmaceutical corporations and the major media groups, the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, are the ones that are doing all of this stuff, as it talks about in the book of Revelation. And so we have to realize that this whole group only cares about people being saved. Remember also when Jesus went to this, he was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he went to this guy who was controlled by a legion of demons. And the guy was basically, they couldn't keep him chained.
Right.
He's out there in the cemetery running around being wild. I mean, everybody's scared to death of this guy. He's like nuts, superhuman strength, controlled by demons. And Jesus said, you know, cast the demons out. And the demons go, throw us into the pigs.
Yeah.
Now think about it for a second. Why did the demons choose the pigs? Why did they choose the swine? Because likes like.
Yeah.
You know, like dissolves like. If you take oil, you know, and you mix it with alcohol, you'll dissolve it. Okay? If you take gasoline, you can thin out diesel fuel. If you put gasoline, you know, on your hands, which I don't recommend, if you got grease on it, it'll cut the grease off.
Yep.
Okay. So these entities wanted to be inside of the pigs and not cast into hell. Well, that's what they always do, isn't it? Satan always provides a counterfeit. So you're going to have a banquet. What do? You get a roasted pig. Well, yeah. That's because the pig, and we've now learned from the World Health Organization that these types of foods massively increase the risk of cancer. We've seen that.
We've seen that now.
Okay?
You're right.
We know that. So Satan doesn't come here to help anybody. He comes here for one reason only. Well, there's multiple reasons. It's all included in this one phrase. He comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he cares about. So what he wants to do is control the world through drugs and pharmakia and create all these young children become unbelievably obese.
Well, and sick and diseased. Here's the thing I want to tie in off this. This is the part I want to really address that they're not even bringing up. They say that American Pediatrics essentially is pushing and promoting these weight loss drugs. GLP-1 drugs are not weight loss drugs categorized. They are diabetic drugs. That's
exactly
what
right.
they are for. When you're taking an 8-year-old that's obese because he eats entirely too much food because his parents put too much junk in the house, and now you're saying we're going to put you on a GLP-1 drug that's a diabetic drug to get your insulin under control because you're so obese because you won't stop eating food. Do you have any idea what long-term side effects are going to occur with these kids?
Well, yeah, heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. I know exactly what's going to happen. So more money for the military.
Exactly.
More money for the medical industrial complex. You know, years ago when I was on WCIE, and I said, you know, food will control your health. And I got lambasted for that. By who? A pediatrician.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Who gets their money every year in huge amounts through Blue Cross Blue Shield if they have 100% compliance with vaccines.
They
all this stuff is controlled
to the same group. Keep going in for their monthly checkups to get their shots to keep the cash flow rolling in. And I'm not picking on all pediatricians because there's some good ones out there. However, there are an enormous percentage of pediatricians that, in my opinion and other people's opinion, that are very corrupt, and they're not about the health
no.
of the children.
Well, no, this same pediatrician was the one who ran with his wife at the Watson Clinic in Lakeland, ran a big Ponzi scheme, and she ended up going to prison because they stole so much money from people. It's horrible.
I knew a doctor in Lakeland that was trying to prescribe SSRI, basically anti-depression drugs, to pregnant women.
For morning sickness.
For morning sickness, which it's off book. They've said they've used it before, but I already brought up the article at the beginning of this week that they directly tied birth defects to SSRIs and antidepressants during pregnancy.
And that's why Dr. Mendelsohn, he wrote his fantastic book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic. And he says the doctors come in with their white lab coat. That symbolizes the clergy gown. They come in with a stethoscope hung around their neck. That's the crucifix.
Yep.
And he says, and what they do, they pretend like they're God, and they have the power of life and death. If you don't take this drug right now, you have 3 weeks to live. Well, how about if I don't want to do it? Oh, you don't understand. Then they take their little stethoscope and they shake it at you and they say, oh, if you don't do this, you're going to die.
Then they sit there and they write their scripture on the pad. Mm-hmm. Here's your scripture. Here's your paper.
Here's your script.
Mm-hmm. Here's your scripture now. You go take it, take your drug and live on it. And I've watched that more than anything happen with so many people with the statin drugs. Drugs are the worst.
Oh.
I mean, I've watched guys that I know that are extremely healthy, and they come in after a couple months of statin drugs. They come on, it's like, Austin, I don't know what's going on. I feel like crap. I have no sex drive. I'm losing my strength. I have no energy. I'm like, what's happening?
My kidneys hurt.
Dude, I went on statin drugs. The doctor said my cholesterol is 205, and I need to be on statin drugs immediately, or else I was going to have a heart attack. And I'm like, what's your blood pressure? What's your heart rate? I'm looking at numbers. I'm like, dude, you're in phenomenal health 3 months ago. Yeah, I know. I feel like literally walking death. I'm like, maybe it's the drug they put you on. I think it is. You need to go talk to that doctor then.
20 years ago, I was on a TV evangelist show, and I was a lot. I was on there a lot. In fact, it was all over the world.
Yeah.
And we were being recognized, and we were going through airports everywhere. And I remember we raised a lot of money for his nonprofit, and he was a good guy. And what happened is we put his mother on a health program.
Yep.
Okay. At the same time, she was put on statin drugs.
Yeah.
Well, she calls me up, and she's angry because he's in kidney failure.
Yeah. I remember that.
And I told her, I said, that has nothing to do with what I did. I told you to eat healthy. And she goes, well, I've got kidney failure. So what did you do? She said, well, I started taking statin drugs. And I'm like, you know that causes skeletal muscle necrosis, right? And she had no idea what that meant. That means it makes your skeletal muscles die. That's why you start having skeletal muscle pain everywhere. And all of a sudden, the body has to get rid of the skeletal muscle that's dead.
Muscle necrosis. Rotting.
Yeah, it's rotting in your body. Shine. So then it gets into the bloodstream and it gets into the kidneys and it messes up the kidneys. That's why there's so many kidney dialysis centers all over the country now, because people have destroyed their own kidney function because of statin drugs. In fact, in my book, Breakthrough Health, that I wrote with Sharon, I talk about the top 10 drugs never to take. And the number one drug never to take is statin. And there's multiple pages of side effects that I listed there from the statin drugs. And you think, well, they told me my cholesterol was at 180. They need me under 100. That's nonsense.
Stupid.
You know, 30 years ago, if you were under 300, it was okay. You can't make testosterone without cholesterol. And all disease rates go up, particularly cancer, if your cholesterol goes under 100. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen, Austin.
It's nuts. And the thing is, I've talked to so many people that would they need to get their cholesterol under control. Like, say they're like 280 or something. I'm like, okay, we got Cholesterol X, great formula, picosanol. We got the vitamin B6, the vascular laxant. And how about you just cut out fast food? You cut out the fried food. You start eating chicken, rice, and vegetables every day with olive oil or butter. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoop, cholesterol gets right in a normal range. Feel great. Got lots of energy. It's that easy.
It stops cholesterol synthesis. Your brain has to have cholesterol in order to function, to think. So suddenly, it's always serious. I got really bad brain fog.
And see, the thing is, what they never wanted to address is when statin drugs went into clinical trials, they were designed to be a short-term use for extremely obese individuals with insane levels of cholesterol, like 400 and 500. Their blood's like sludge. And they tested that to get the cholesterol back under control to basically prevent them from having a heart attack short-term. Statins were never designed to be put on people long term. And secondly, they've lowered the cholesterol rates, just like you said. The American cardiologists, they literally have dropped the levels down, 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 down. Then finally got 200. It's like, 200 is too high. Now you need to be below 200. 180 is too high. Now you need to be 150. And they've dropped the levels down now that everybody's in a walking brain fog. And everybody wonder why that's the number
one prescription drug. Now, I got to make this disclaimer. If you're taking statin drugs or any kind of prescription drug, do not change the drugs that you're taking because of what we just told you or anything we talk about on the show. No. That is not our intent here. If you've got a problem with these types of drugs and they're causing you side effects, you need to go to the doctor who prescribed them. If that doctor who prescribed them does not want to discuss the side effects with you, you need to find another doctor that will discuss those side effects with you
that's
before
fine.
You discontinue the use of any prescription medicine. That's my disclaimer. Right now. because I want you guys to know that, you know, you've got to be serious, because a lot of times, like if you're on Xanax and products like that, you just pretend you can die.
Yeah,
so you got to be real, real careful on drugs. And so the doctor will probably tell you, but I don't know. He'll have you titrate the dosing down. But the reality is that, you know, you've got to think about this stuff. If you go to the doctor, he wants to put you on a drug, then what you do is you go to the pharmacist and you say, I want you to make a photocopy of the physician's desk reference on the side effects of this drug.
Yeah.
You think, well, would you really? I've done that. And then I find out if the side effects of the drug are worse than the condition that I'm trying to treat. And if the side effects are worse, like suicide, that's a pretty serious side effect.
If I'm not mistaken, they're required by law, if you request the side effect list, you request the insert, they have to show it to you on the drugs if you have a prescription for it.
Well, I think they should do that. But the problem is, you know, why
would they don't voluntarily show it?
But when someone's intentionally poisoning you, we saw that with a friend of ours who came in the office years ago. I went to his funeral a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He was doing great. Then he got Obamacare.
Yep.
And then they were giving him all these drugs for free. And we watched his health just go straight down until we buried him a few weeks ago. Yeah. And I saw it. I mean, I've seen it so many times. Drugs have side effects. Period. Find out what they are before you decide to go on those. Then call your doctor back. Hey, this thing has this, and this side effect. You know, what do I need to do? Is there something else I can take?
Yeah.
How about you change your diet?
Well, and speaking of diet, RFK Jr., I have been just very pleased with some of the stuff he's doing. He's basically forcing now the HHS, FDA, and USDA to address the chronic disease epidemic brought about by ultra-processed foods. He's seeking to create a uniform definition for ultra-processed foods that's federally recognized, and at a certain point, putting a warning label on anything that's ultra-processed.
Like milk.
Yeah, this product contains ultra-processed foods. This product contains this. This is a joint effort, it's a collaboration.
You know what he just did, too? On the flu shot, he took thimerosal out of all shots
that.
Now. That's a big deal.
It should never have been.
That's mercury, guys. Yeah. Remember, we talked about how poisonous
number three most toxic element known to man?
Yeah, more toxic than arsenic, you know, but they're injecting it in you. I mean, my gosh.
I've told
you guys so many times with the flu shots, they all contain mercury. And people say, well, no, they don't. I'm like, yeah, they do. Why am I going to inject and put thimerosal in my body?
He says here currently there's no single authoritative definition for ultra-processed foods in the U.S. food supply, yet they're one of the worst things people are ingesting. He says the uniform definition for ultra-processed foods will act as a critical step to boost transparency for customers about the food they consume. And he went on to say here, he said, we must act boldly to eliminate the root cause of chronic illness and improve the health of our food supply. Listen to this here. According to statements, estimated that roughly 70% of all packaged products in the country's food supply are considered to be ultra-processed. Children get more than 60% of their daily calories from ultra-processed foods. 60%, guys.
Studies have found links between such foods and obesity, cancer, neurological disorders, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, according to the statement. So what they're telling you is if you eat this kind of sludge, you're going to get these kind of diseases.
And to clarify this, ultra-processed foods fall into the category of ultra-processed ingredients, meaning they have high fructose corn syrup, they have soybean oil, they have canola oil. They've designed it, and I did a whole show on this about 2 months ago, if you guys want to go back and look at it. The manufacturers actually went in and they did clinical testing with certain amounts of sugar, certain amounts of carbohydrates, certain amounts of fats, and certain amounts of MSG in a specific combination to see what triggered the brain on an addictive level. And they found that there were certain combinations that were as addictive as street drugs if they designed it properly and they consumed them in the right combo ratio. And then they started producing the products in that ratio.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, if you think about it for a second, they're not designed to keep you healthy. They're designed to give you enough calories to keep you alive.
That's exactly right.
Now, I'm going to repeat that. They keep you alive with calories, but they don't keep your health there. You start to, your body, if you don't get a certain amount of amino acids, essential fats, minerals, your body starts to degenerate. That's why they're called degenerative diseases. And so they don't take care of this. What they do, they allow you to take what it does, here's dead, okay? This is the dead. This is your life right here. This is your age of where you die. And what it does, it's designed to take you on that slope to dead as quick as they possibly can while they extract the most amount of money out of you.
Yep.
Okay? That's what it does. Because it's like, well, if we give them this disease, it'll do this. If we give them this disease, it'll wipe out their 401k.
If we keep them alive long enough to extract all their cash, and then when we're done extracting their cash, done.
And then we basically charge them $10,000 for a funeral or $6,000 for a cremation.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, it doesn't cost $6,000 to cremate somebody. Oh, yeah, but you have to rent the casket. Casket rental is going to be $3,000.
That's why cancer is no longer a disease. It's just a it's a controlled industry.
Yeah,
that's what it is now. I mean, we've seen so many different ways with natural doctors that have worked with cancer and figured out how to get it basically down. And then they come in and say, oh, no, 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 you got to go on this drug and this drug and this drug. And they drag it out. Like we just talked about yesterday, what the chemotherapy does to the cells.
Man, I took some heat back in the 90s. I was on that seminar success service. And I remember there was an article that had come out in the Financial Times. And it said they were going to try to find a drug that would take cancer and make it treatable like diabetes so the person could stay on it for the rest of their life.
Yep.
And that, so it would massively increase the profits. In other words, you have cancer, you're going to die in 30 days, or you can die in 5 years. But here's what you've got to do. You got to spend this $2,000 a month every single month for the next 5 years. So you go, well, I don't have the money. Well, you can sell your house. Well, I don't want to sell my house. Well, you can mortgage your house. Well, I don't want to mortgage my house. Well, you sell your car, then you can walk, you peasant. Well, I don't want to walk.
Gosh. True though,
you know, but I don't want to walk. Well, you can stop taking vacations.
Yeah,
I kind of like taking a vacation once a year. It's kind of nice. No, peasant, you have to give us your money so we'll keep you alive for the next 5 years, and we won't tell you about the side effects you're going to have. You're not going to feel like going on vacation anyhow, and don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about walking. You're gonna be too sick to walk. And that's how they do it. Well,
and that's why, you know, we talked yesterday about the brain fog kit, the brain and body restart kit with the GHI cleanse, basically the magnesium brain food and the shaker that I threw in there, because everybody keeps asking me where to start. I'm cutting this food out. I'm getting away from the ultra-processed foods. Awesome. Great start. They say, well, where do I start with the supplements and getting my inflammation down, getting detoxified, getting my body kick-started and restarted? And that's where the GHI and the magnesium comes in.
Well, GHI, G is for gastrointestinal, yep. H is for hepatic for liver, and I is for inflammation.
Yep.
And so it helps to keep the liver strong, helps to reduce inflammation. You know, it helps with the liver. I mean, so the whole thing about it is if you're in a situation where you want to start somewhere,
yep,
that's a really good place to start. If you stack that with the powdered multiple or the capsule multiple, you won't believe the difference in just a few days. And here's the thing. Here's what I've learned. If you're in a situation where you have serious nutritional deficiencies,
yep,
and you start on the powdered multiple and you start on the GHI and you start on these different types like magnesium and you don't feel a difference within a month, it's probably something else.
Yeah.
Because you'll feel pretty fat. You'll feel the difference.
It will kick fast.
I know Melina started on that powdered multiple, and she said, man, I felt the first dose within 20 minutes.
You do.
And she said, I had terrible brain fog. And she says, yeah, it's gone now. She says, I couldn't even function. And the crazy part about all of this stuff is when you think about it, you wonder and you ask yourself a question. How about if I had been on these products to start with, would I have ever come down with a brain fog?
There you go.
The answer is probably no.
In many cases, this is what's rough, is people wait until they're right at the brink of failure. The body's at the brink of
breaking
failure
down
to start making changes. They go, oh my gosh, everything's falling apart. I've got all this inflammation. My organs are failing. What can I do to fix it? It's kind of like driving around with the check engine light on your car and all the TPMS air lights on, you know, all the tires are going flat, and the radiator's leaking, and the coolant's flushing out, and there's no oil left in the engine. You go, what's going on with my car? How do I fix it? Well, you drove it 150,000 miles before you even serviced it. Maybe that was something you should have looked at.
You know, it's funny. I'm going to repeat this because I want people to understand what I meant by this. If you have a condition in which you feel horrible,
yeah,
and you change your diet, and now you feel great, and that condition no longer exists, doesn't it make sense? Had you been on that dietary program and those supplements to begin with, you never would have come down with that condition. And that's what they were saying in this article on the ultra-processed foods.
Yeah.
And basically, if you don't eat this stuff, you're going to basically find out that you're going to stay a whole lot healthier. But I've seen this over and over and over again. That's why so many times when a person starts on a basic supplement program, they feel a massive difference if the supplements are good quality.
Correct.
Now, if they buy junk stuff, it doesn't make a difference.
Great value brand.
Well, it's not going to happen. Most of them are shellac coated. You're not going to absorb them anyhow. You say, I've spent all this money. I spent $4 last month on a bottle of this stuff, and then I spent $2 on this, and I don't feel any different.
I've
feel worse.
So many times, dude. It's so annoying. Be like, yeah, you told me to start on the sublingual B12. I said, yeah, I told you to start on our sublingual B12. Well, I went to Walmart, and they had a buy one, get 10 free for $1.99, and it's not working. I took one of them, and it doesn't work. I'm like,
The best was this. That's the best thing I've ever seen.
People don't believe us on this one.
This is a true story.
I know.
We don't make stuff up here. We talked about this stuff on the show one day, and they went to Walmart, and they bought a bunch of stuff.
That we talked about. Their brand.
And then like 6 months later, they sent it back to us to refund their money.
I said, what refund? We never got any money.
You never bought anything. Well, it didn't work. I'm like, we told you it wouldn't.
Now Walmart won't refund it. You guys need to give me a refund back. I'm like, what? I'm not following. I'm pretty sharp, but I'm not.
No, that was the craziest thing I've ever seen. That'd be like me buying something from JCPenney and taking it back to Walmart for a refund, and Walmart goes, what are you doing? It's not even our product. Was something wrong with you? Well, they won't refund it. Well, why would we give you the money back? You didn't buy it from us. But that happened once. It only happened one time. It's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah,
I mean, it really, really is. And so we ask ourselves a simple question. You know, why in the world do we think that we can treat our body like a disposal, put all kinds of junk in it, feed it junk all the time, and expect it to perform?
Now, I had a couple requests from some guys that I know that race and that are in MMA. A couple guys in Orlando, they're asking me for a stack together because they want to grab some stuff. This is a whole other side of the category. This is for all my race fuel customers that want something that really gets you going. If you guys want to have top performance, MMA, fighting, racing, extreme athletes in the gym, this is the stack to get. I just want to let you guys – I put this together a little ways back. The purple sticks and attention factor.
Ooh, that's a stack.
That's your pre-fight. That's your pre-race. That's your qualifier. And then post-fight, post-race, the fit food with the ultimate multiple. That's your recovery. And we put that together. I've had multiple people run that are in sports. And I put it at phase one, pre-race focus and reflexes, acai purple sticks and attention factor. It works. It will kickstart you. Phase two, recovery and endurance. The ultimate multiple with a fit food protein. Three scoops away, two scoops of multiple, post-race, post-fight. Now, again, this is a stack for guys that are serious.
And make sure your heart's in good shape,
guys. This is not somebody just do this and sit on the couch and play video games. But a lot of people are asking about this. I know a lot of guys that are on the race teams, they wanted something like this. I threw it together. So it's available for you guys with a big discount if you want to grab it. But this is for my seasoned athletes that like to have top performance and top recovery.
I have to admit something.
This works. This is my stack.
When I took my flight exam,
yeah.
When I'm flying the plane with an FFA flight examiner sitting right beside me, right?
Oh, yeah.
FAA. And, you know, he's in the seat beside me. I was on Focus Factor.
I know. And you took Purple Stick.
No, I don't think I did.
You didn't?
But, I probably did that morning.
Yeah.
But I remember he basically told me, he says, I want you to stall the aircraft and bring it out with, with a 360-degree heading within 5 degrees. I said, all right.
Attention factor, baby.
It was like okay, and so but it was funny because I mean I knew exactly what he wanted, and
yeah.
my brain was on a. I mean, I was at 100%. I love it. Every once in a while, I hit a show like that.
Yeah,
Monday's show was like that. By the way, I had like a 5-minute segment that I did without a script, and I was at 100%. And when that happens to me, I kind of go. What is that old song that guy wrote? I may not be as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I always was.
That's what happened to me on Hagman. I did a run on Hagman on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Some attention factor purple stick.
Well,
the only downfall is you don't sleep.
Well, no, I can't take it for now. Yeah. I take it that morning, my flight exam. I took it like
you can't
six
take
o'clock,
it too late, you know? Unless you're going to be up later, your night hour, you're working later, a night shift, or you're working out at the gym
and
late.
And again, if you don't have a good cardiovascular system, don't take that product, period. It's not worth it to you because it pushes you pretty hard.
Yeah.
But boy, will it light your brain up, boy.
Speed, focus, and recovery. You want it. You want the best. That's where it's at. But I threw that together for everybody, so I want to give everybody heads up on that.
But yeah, I got me through my flight exam.
Oh, yeah, dude. I remember you got back off that flight exam. And you're like, dude. I'm like, bro, I'm trying to follow with you right now.
I was doing so well on the flight exam. We still had these short runway landings, the soft runway landings and all that. And I was nailing everything. And he finally looked at me and goes, we're done.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean? I said, we still have these to do. And he goes,
we're not done with the exam. I have more stuff I want to show you.
I want to show you what I can do with this. And he goes, no, we're done. And that was so funny. But it was funny, though.
This is a comical one. This is kind of some bubblegum now. Since I can't stay serious about it because it's making me entirely too mad. So I've got to joke about it more. White House now has tightened its grip on the Jeffrey Epstein messaging. White House has made it clear that no one in the administration is allowed to talk about Epstein without high-level vetting. You can't talk about it now. It doesn't exist. It's forbidden.
He's an Israeli agent with his Mossad. I mean, you can't talk about that. What we've done here with Jeffrey Epstein is we walked into the kitchen in the middle of the night. And there's a bunch of stinking roaches on the floor. And we got a flashlight, and we're swatting roaches.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, can't do that. Can't turn the light on in the kitchen. I don't want to step on a roach. Too bad. You shouldn't be in the kitchen. You have to be vetted before you can walk in with a flashlight. Down here in Florida, we use boric acid everywhere now just to try to keep the roaches away.
Well, we get the one, you get the palmetto bugs out in the woods. There's a big roach. There's about that big. They fly. And when you're out in the woods at night, they'll run into you and they'll land on you. And when it's really dark, you don't have your flashlight on. What is that? Blah! It's sitting there on your shoulder. You're swatting, and then it blows up everywhere.
Well, no, this is a terrible story. I'm going to tell it, though. It happened to me in college. I went out with this girl named Vicky, a real nice girl. And they lived out in Alturas.
Yeah.
And I remember I was sitting there talking to her parents, and this palmetto blood flies.
Oh, yeah.
In the house. And I'm like, that's great. And then another one flew by, and another one flew by. And finally, they had to address it. They had to say something about the roaches flying around because it was pretty disgusting. And I said, oh, well, we're in Florida, you know. And I thought to myself, this is really odd. I mean, how many roaches? If you're seeing these things flying around, that place is infested.
They're disgusting. So
but boric acid does a great job, and it's not toxic.
It does. I remember when I built my house. I bought cases of boric acid when we were doing drywall and everything. I was putting them behind the drywall, putting them around the slab. I mean, I was dumping it everywhere.
Before you put the kitchen cabinets in, you put pounds of boric acid.
So there's no way that anybody get exposed to it.
Well, it's not toxic anyhow.
No, it's what happens. It keeps the ants and it keeps the roaches out. Really does a good job.
Because what it does, the roaches, they don't really have lungs. They can't breathe like that. They have little holes in their sides that are called spiroles. And what happens is that boric acid gets in there, plugs them up, and they just suffocate. They die.
And it's funny. To this day, I have zero roaches in my house ever. But zero ant problem.
We did the same thing here. Yeah. When we built a studio many, many years ago, it didn't start off as a studio. It is now. We put all the walls are loaded with boric acid. And so we very rarely ever have a critter in here. Which is really kind of nice. That way you have to deal with all the poison all the time, which I can't stand.
I don't have the spray unless you absolutely have to. It's too nasty on there. And also, giving everybody a heads up, we're talking about that GLP-1, Ozempic topics and all that. If you're wanting to get your blood sugar under control, it's really simple. The cinnamon extract formula, we also have the berberine as well. But you guys voted, if you guys saw that, the cinnamon extract's on sale for, 13% off on there. So it's on the sale on the website. This product works incredible.
Helps to really make it. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Paul Craig Gravis came out with an article that was pretty, I'm only going to cover it for a second because we're almost out of time. White women and children in Scandinavia and Britain are no longer protected by law against rape.
What?
I'm like, what?
What?
Sweden. This happened in Sweden. Two Afghan migrants brutally raped a minor at knife point. They're released by the Swedish justice, and they will not be deported. The indoctrinated and brainwashed Swedish judge said that Muslims have different cultural values than Swedes, and Muslims are just acting in keeping with their cultural values. I think the judge is slandering Muslims, blaming cultural values for Sweden's refusal to enforce the law. But here we have a judge's admission that multiculturalism requires the acceptance of serious crimes for which a white person would spend many years, perhaps life in prison. The crimes can't be punished because they are cultural values.
What?
The judge has admitted that multiculturalism means white ethnicities must tolerate lawlessness and their lack of protection by law. Multiculturalism is more important. The judge's ruling will open wider rape floodgate. It is extraordinary that white liberal women agitate in favor of more immigration and support by their silence of the right meaning right by and support by their silence the right wing immigrant invaders to rape them. Where are the Swedish feminists? Why all the hullabaloo about Epstein's sex trafficking of underage girls when it becomes a de facto legal all over Europe for migrant invaders to rape underage females? It is the same in England as in Sweden, as in Norway and in Denmark and in Germany. I mean, it's unbelievable they're actually doing this. The new world view is that only colored people have rights unless they are Palestinians, who have zero rights, right? No white people have rights unless they are Jewish, because Gentiles are all racist and anti-Semites. It is de facto legal to rape a white woman if you're a person of color. This is true all over Europe. In the United States, if you're a person of color, you can in California, or could, as the law might have been repealed by mass exit of businesses, steal $950 per store in one day and not be charged if you're a color of person. But if you're white, you'll have charges brought against you. This is insanity.
Unbelievable.
New York has or intends to give the vote to illegal aliens. New York City is on the verge of electing a communist immigrant invader as its mayor. Imagine New York City, the financial head of the capitalist world, about to elect a communist mayor. The incongruity speaks to the collapse of the American and the West. There's really is nothing left, and it's difficult to find even a corpse of America's founding fathers' creation. California has or intends to allow illegal aliens to be police officers. We saw that with that one guy who shot that girl. Remember that, Austin?
Yep.
Democratic cities declared themselves to be sanctuaries under which law cannot pursue people who have entered the country illegally. No democratic jurisdiction takes the side of America against immigrant invaders. In St. Louis, Americans who defended their property against Antifa and Black Lives Matter were demonized, prosecuted, and punished. What we do make of governments that sacrifice their own ethnicities to migrant invaders? Imagine the fate of two immigrant invader rapists if the Sweden girl, if they had been white Swedes. Clearly, Sweden has now a systemic race-based law. It wasn't that long ago that the Swedish government stole the property of aristocratic class because it allegedly was a product of class-based law. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. I mean, so you can do whatever you want to do if you're a person from another country coming into these liberal places in Europe.
No, it's absolutely bizarre. It's getting worse over there. But one thing I did want to address for the end of the show, because this guy was a legend, Hulk Hogan, he passed away yesterday in Tampa. Awesome dude. Ice race motocross with his son, Nick. One of the coolest guys you'll ever meet. The positive note on it, they even did a big thing on it. They said December 23, WWE Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan was baptized. He said, I have total surrender and dedication to Jesus, the greatest day of my life. No worries, no hate, no judgment, only love.
That's
he
true.
Got baptized, but he was WWE. I mean, he was a legend. And
well, he was. And
he made wrestling.
You know what's funny? You know, we had Ozzy Osbourne, who was complete and total, whatever you want to call him, dies, and Hulk Hogan dies, and then we realize that Hulk's going to be in heaven with God.
Yeah.
And then we had Theodore Huxtable. You know, this is the guy that basically was the young guy who played, you know, Malcolm Jamal Warner. He died yesterday, too, in Costa Rica. And what he did, he got caught in a rip current. He got dragged out to sea.
Oh,
and
man.
He couldn't keep swimming. He drowned. They rescued his daughter because she was with him on a surfboard and came back to get him, and he was down. He's down. He had drowned. Now, I'm going to say this. I was in Costa Rica. It happened to me, too. I got caught in a rip current and got dragged out into the Pacific.
And we have those in Florida, too.
Yeah. Be very, very careful because you can't see them.
No.
And all of a sudden, you get pulled out, and you're in this rip current, and you have to swim parallel with the shore. Or you can't just go against it because you can't swim that fast. But I got dragged out several miles one time off the coast of Costa Rica. And then we were told as we returned the rafts, luckily we were on rafts, they told me that we have people disappear on the rafts all the time. They get dragged out and we never see them again.
I had it happen on the East Coast one time. It wasn't a bad one. We were able to pull out of it. But all of a sudden we were swimming. Also, shore starts getting further real quick.
And
you're like, whoa, we're up there. Now we're down here. Now we're getting out.
Well, we finally swam. We went parallel to the shore of Costa Rica. We came back to shore about 2 miles further down, and Sharon's chasing me down the shoreline because she thought she lost her husband to Hawaii, you know, and so it was crazy. So be really careful when you're down here in Florida. And if you go swimming, make sure you have a raft or some type of flotation device with you.
At least a life jacket.
At least a life jacket or something if you're going to be out there in the water.
Especially if you start going above your shoulders, above your neck.
What happened is there were breakers probably about 1,000 feet out. We wanted to go ride the breakers with the waves. And boy, we got out a little ways, and boy, the current took us. And I thought I was with a guy named Gus who was from California, and he's a friend I'd met on the trip. And he told me, he goes, "Hey, we got to go sideways because if we don't, we're not going to come back."
We're both certified scuba divers. And I always tell people, you go out in open water, understand it is unforgiving. It does not care about your life. It's the ocean. It will take it very quickly, and
I'll tell you guys a story about going diving one time off the coast down there by Aruba with these huge waves, and guy passed out in the water. We had to rescue him. I'll tell you about that on Monday if I remember. But it's interesting. But guys, listen to me. You keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. And remember, just like Hulk Hogan knows now, there is a God.
Yeah.
And there is Jesus. And he got to meet him yesterday. I met Hulk Hogan years ago. He's an extremely nice guy. I'm not going to talk about any of the controversy that surrounded his life because it doesn't matter. I love the guy. He was professional wrestling in the 80s.
Oh, he was.
When he went after
we all watched
when
him.
When he picked up Andre the Giant, slammed him down.
Yeah, 500-pound
unbelievable.
Andre. Wait, we have, 92,000 people in that stadium?
Oh, my gosh.
WrestleMania?
Yes. And the crazy part about he made Vince McMahon a multi-billionaire. And the thing about it is Hulk Hogan became very, very wealthy and very well-known name. And he really, really was a nice guy.
That was pre-social media, too, what he did with that. I mean, that was the ability to have people
He is the one who made The Rock.
He
wrestled The Rock, too.
WWE would never have been what it was without Hulk.
No.
Hulkster.
We're going to miss him, and I'm really happy that he knows Jesus. And you know you can know Jesus, too, but you're going to have to ask Christ to come into your heart and to realize that you need to repent for the sins that you've committed and realize that God is God and Jesus is Jesus and that you have to accept them for who they say they are. It's really, really important. I love you guys, and I appreciate you so much. And thank you for your support. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for getting your purple sticks and your powdered multiple from us and your capsule multiple from us. If it wasn't for you guys doing what you do to support the show, we couldn't be here right now. And
That's
I try to tell you that every single day because I want to tell you thank you. I want to thank you for getting your toothpaste or your multiple vitamins or your B complex or your vitamin E from us. Because if you didn't do that, this is an expensive broadcast. This thing is expensive with
it
the social media.
It takes a lot of time.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I remember I used to actually travel and take my iPad and do voice only. It was great.
We don't get to travel anymore.
We're here all the time.
I know.
You know?
Well, we do it for you guys.
And, I love doing it because it gives me a purpose in my life and allows me to try to bring honor and glory to God and all that I do think and say, which sometimes I fail miserably at that, by the way.
Healthier, feeling better. I love getting positive feedback reviews from you guys. I love it when you tell me you're doing something, you're changing your diet, or you're losing weight or on supplements. It definitely makes my day knowing that I have a positive impact and people are getting healthy.
Well, let me ask you this question. If you can stay healthy and go through your life, wouldn't you rather do that than stay sick and go through your life?
Good question. Easy answer.
Hey, have a great weekend. I love you guys.
You guys stay safe. Thanks. Appreciate y'all.